Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek. Let's review. We're up to Perek Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis Pasuk Ches. We're in the middle of Pasuk Ches. I think. Let's start with Pasuk Ches. Okay, again, Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Ches. We are describing the downfall of Egypt. As we mentioned already many times, there's an enormous amount of repetition. An enormous amount of repetition describing the Khorbin of... What's wrong? It's okay? You hear me now? You have Sprint? Or do you have T-Mobile? Verizon? Anyone have Verizon?
I don't know. Used to be Verizon.
Okay, what?
The original one was Verizon.
That was the original. And now, there's so many of them.
Now back to 9.
Okay, let's begin. Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Ches, Kol Mo'ari Ar Bashamayim. So here we're discussing the enormous amount of repetition describing the downfall of Egypt. Egypt is going to be punished, and the main reason why they are punished, number one, is because they have, the Golos of Mitzvah, Avodim, the Inui Oysam, and Hashem, it's just like by us, we have this idea, it's coming up tomorrow, Shavuos v'Tammuz, the Yom Pakti u'Fakadeti. It's a principle that's not unique to Jews. It's a principle that is unique, it's a universal principle, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not always punish a person or a nation 100% at the time of their sin. Sometimes it does, but generally Hashem does. In the Smala Hasa, when they fill up their measure, Hashem brings a complete punishment. But sometimes it's not always the case. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes throughout history. Being that Egypt was guilty of Va'avodim V'inui Oysam, they were guilty of genocide. Kol Hadein Hayiloid Hayoira Tashli Hu. Okay, and so therefore they deserve quite a degree of punishment. They of course were punished severely at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim at Kriyas Yamsuf. What? They were wiped out. Kimitsula Shein Baidogim, Chazal say, like a pond that has no fish. Many of them died, and their assets were completely looted and wiped out. Yet they survived. They survived to live another day. And therefore, throughout the generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to punish them. That's sin number one. Sin number two is that during the time of the Bayis Rishon, they gave support. They promised Klal Yisrael that they would have their back. Just in case there's any uprising, there's any problem, Egypt said to the Jewish people, you need not worry in case things get out of hand, in case there is any uprising. Don't worry, we're going to be there for you. It's in our own self-interest. It should be, the Middle East should be peaceful. So we're going to come and save you in case you have any trouble. Now this was a sin for Klal Yisrael to rely upon that, instead of relying upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there are many dimensions to what takes place in this world. And being that Egypt was not true to their word, when Klal Yisrael did indeed suffer, when they didn't suffer at the time of Ashur, and when they suffered at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the Egyptians were nowhere to be found. They betrayed Klal Yisrael. That's a very powerful thing Musa for us in our generation, when Eretz Yisrael needs to come on to the Ummah Yisraelam. Let's make no mistake about it. We need to come on to America. We need to come on to the Europeans. We even need to come on to some of the Arab neighbors. Okay, in order that there should be some sharing of intelligence and security, and the nisoyon is from us we do the hishtadlus 1000%, but of course not to forget that this ein anu lihishoyin illa alavinu shabashamayim. But forget about it from our perspective. Let's look at it from their perspective. If they are there and they are promising to protect us and to be good to us, and to reciprocate, they have a moral duty to be true to their word. And if they fail in this matter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds them responsible. And that's exactly what happened to Egypt. Is besides the chait of the Avod and the Ili Oysam, they guarantee the safety and security of Klal Yisrael in the time of Ashur. They guarantee the safety and security of Eretz Yisrael in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And they betrayed us. Therefore, they have to suffer the consequences. And the consequences go on forever and ever until the time of Mashiach. And there are three, we learn about three very specific times of their destruction. Everything we're doing now is reviewing. Number one was in the second year, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, the first order of business was to conquer Nineveh. And who happened to be hanging out along the banks of Nineveh? The Egyptian army. And Nebuchadnezzar wiped out the entire Egyptian army on his way to conquer Nineveh. The second defeat was in his eighth year. In his eighth year, right after he conquered Yerushalayim, right after he destroyed Yerushalayim, Nebuchadnezzar went to Egypt and wiped out and conquered them as well. He subdued them and he subjugated them. And then is the third major defeat, which took place in the 27th year of Nebuchadnezzar, where he completely obliterated Egypt off the map to the point where it says in the Pasuk, and we're going to have it again soon, that no regel Adam and regel Behema, no living creature stepped foot in the land of Egypt for the next 40 years. And that's not the end of Egypt. Even when Egypt began to be resettled, we're going to see the Nebuchadnezzar of Melchemes Gog Umagog, there's going to be more suffering that will come upon the Egyptians. So the Egyptians... Oh, so that's another question. Ashur, we relocate all the nations of the world, so how do we reconcile that with Egypt? So obviously there has to be some balance. Indeed, Ashur did repopulate Egypt with other people, but to some degree, Egypt did retain, even with all of the population relocation, they maintained a degree of their original culture. You have to say that. You have to say there's a balance. There's elu divrei Elokim chayim. When it comes to, let's say, Amon Umayav, Amalek, the Gemara also asked this question: do they really exist anymore? Bizman Hazed, didn't we learn that Sancheriv repopulated the entire world? And there are contradictions in Chazal as to what status they have Bizman Hazeh. And the answer has to be Elu the Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. There are elements of Edom and Moab and Mitzrayim and all the nations that cease to exist in our time. They're gone forever. But there are some characteristics, there is some degree of these nations which continue to exist until the time of going forever, until Mashiach. Now, with that all in mind, we continue describing the Churban that's going to come upon Egypt.
Just one thing.
Yeah?
You mentioned about where we are today. The difference is that Israel's neighbors are relying on Israel to protect them, not the other way around.
Yes and no. Listen, I'm not in any sense, any shape, a mumche
in
politics,
all coming to
geopolitics.
Israel to protect them.
But from the little I read in the newspaper and online, it's very complex. Okay, it's a very dynamic, complex relationship. Every day, things constantly shift. Okay, let's see. I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know. I tell you, I don't know. I know from nothing. I just know from a few little things I read here and there. What do I know? Nothing of nothing. Pasiches kol me'orei or bashamayim. Pasiches all of the heavenly bodies, the lights in heaven. Ak direim olecha. I'm going to darken upon you. Okay. Again, Paraglam base pasuk ches. I'm going to cause all of the luminaries to darken. V'nasati chesha alatzicha numashem v'lepil. I'm going to bring darkness upon your land. Okay, it's interesting. Darkness is one of the makos. The makos chesha. Chesha was the second to last makah. So nacham alashem over here is saying, I'm going to bring upon the nation of Egypt. I'm going to bring upon them chesha. Pasuk ches in the mitzudos David. Kol Ma'orei Ar, Kol HaKuchavim HaMi'irim Asher Bashman Esein Choshech L'Mulcha. I'm going to cause them all to become dark regarding you. Okay. Rashi, Pasuk Ches says, Kol Ma'orei Ar Bashamayim Sodim. So Rashi is more Midrashic. Rashi likes the Ma'orei Ar does not mean the stars, the luminaries. It means the Malachim, the Sarim, all of the advocates in heaven, they are going to be silenced. And you're going to be in trouble. Sodim shalmaila militzecha. Your advocates, they're not going to be permitted to advocate on your behalf in heaven. Radak pasuk ches says Kolam Ari Or Chameshes Hakichavim. Okay, the five planets, right? There are five planets. In Chazal, we have how many planets in the secular world? Seven, right? Well
nine?
They keep on changing. It's always machloikis, this one, that one. Okay, the rewriting history. Poor Pluto. Ay, we can make a mishaberach for him, for her. They should restore her, right? What? Pluto. Pluto, right? That she's not in the lower
right, county. Well, now there's a move on to reinstate, but they
make a mishaberach for her. Chamesha sakrichavim hamiirim al oritz, which give light to hamiirim al oritz. V'chol zeh derech mashal. Okay, there are five different stars. Hamiirim al oritz, they miirim al oritz. These different luminaries, they provide light. Really? These luminaries, they provide light. Maybe they do. I'm not familiar with this at all. V'chol zeh derech mashal. V'ki kol mi shatovay olav atzara yidmelo yakol olam choshech. Anyone that has tsar in this world, the world is dark. Go outside in the street, the sun may be shining, but not for that person. All right, let's see what it says over here in the next one's pasuk test. I'm going to cause the nations to become angry. The Metzudo says, doesn't mean they're going to be angry at anyone other than themselves. So the person is in a state of tsar. This is a very interesting psychological idea. How the mind works. When a person is in pain, the person is in tsar, he gets angry. Who does he get angry at? Himself. He gets angry. Normally, anger is always normally expressed against someone else. But when the person is in pain, he's an angry. I mean, I don't know. It depends. It all depends. But over here, the nations of the world, when they hear what happened to Egypt, and they recognize that they're also vulnerable, they also will soon suffer the fate of Egypt when Nebuchadnezzar decides to conquer them. So they get sad, and the sadness evokes within them anger. Angry at themselves, why didn't they do something before to prevent this from happening? Why couldn't they form an alliance to prevent Nebuchadnezzar from his aggression? Look at World War II, look at Hitler, the Nazis, I mean all these nations that were just run over like a steamroller by they probably woke up the next day was fools who should have all gotten together and prevented this madman from conquering the whole world. So that's what Sovyasti Levamim Rabim I'm going to cause them to become very angry at themselves. Behavi Shivrucha Bagoim when I bring your churban over the world, when Nebuchadnezzar destroys Egypt, all the nations will then wake up and realize they are next on the chopping block. So they're going to be angry at themselves when they see the churban that came upon the Nebuchadnezzar, b'goyim among the nations, al aratzos asher lo yidaten, even concerning nations you never heard of. Nations all over the world, when they read the paper, when they go online, they see what happened to Egypt, they recognize they are next. These nations don't even heard of, but they know that sooner or later, the Nebuchadnezzar is coming for them as well. Good morning. Okay. Let's now go to Pasuk Test of the Mitzvah. I'm going to cause anger. A person gets angry at himself when he is in a state of pain. This kas will be this will be at a time when it is heard throughout the world that Egypt has been defeated, has been arotzos, hagoyim, harichoykim, asher lo yidaten, that you do not know about, when the nations of the world hear what happened, all over the world they hear what happened, they're going to be in a very great state of pain and going to cause themselves kas. Rashi pasuk tes v'chasti leif kiloimar yirgas v'yechrar libam. Rashi also acknowledges the word chasti is not literal. It's not to be taken literally. It's an outgrowth. It means they're going to be terrified. The haviyachav shivucha be'ayisayusi tivirei korovach. When I bring the broken war, libeinehoin, basically when I cause your army, when I cause the war to extend into your land and cause you to be broken, the world will be terrified. Radak pasuk tes, v'chasti levamim sheyel levavim sar v'zof alecha. Your hearts will be in a state of anguish. Mipachtam sheyifchadu al atzmam. You're going to be afraid for yourself. Because when I bring you the brokenness amongst the nations. Now here the Radak has a new pshat. He means that they're going to send off all of the sick people to the hospitals throughout the world. When Egypt will collapse, okay, think of it in modern terms. There's a war going on, and the enemy comes into Egypt and destroys the country. There's no electricity. There's no transportation. There's nothing. So what happens? There are people that are dying. So there's humanitarian aid. The UN comes in with their helicopters and they pick up all of the sick people and they transfer them to any country that wants to help. Okay, Israel of course will be there right away. No doubt about it. They'll be there right away. We'll take in some. We'll heal some of the sick people. And then all the countries will take it. Everyone will take in a few sick people. And then when the television cameras are rolling and they show what the people look like, what these people look like, the world will be terrified. So that's how the Radak learns. I saw that in the article. If you have to explain to me the Pshat in the Radak, is that when the victims will be taken to other countries for Rufua, because Egypt will be unable to heal their own sick, and the people will see just how bad the casualties of war, just how ugly war is, and what has happened to these people, they will be terrified. Look what happened not so long ago in Syria. Anyone see those horrifying videos of those children that were killed by gas? Okay, whatever they use, chemical weapons. And it's just horrifying to watch how these children, they quiver. They quiver in the last moments of life. So this is something which caused the whole world to shake. It could be us, chas v'shalom. The same way they did it, the same way they launched chemical weapons upon their own people, what's going to prevent these crazy shagayim from launching chemical weapons on anyone in the whole world? And when you see these pictures, these images of what it looks like, what the tsar, the agony, and what's going on, it causes one to melt. And that's how we learn Pshat in the Pasuk, Bahavi, when I bring, Pshuta Shul, make a point to the Mitzvahs, and Rashi means, Bahavi means, when Nebuchadnezzar arrives in your land, and Nebuchadnezzar destroys Egypt. So who am I bringing? I'm bringing Nebuchadnezzar into Egypt. The Radak learns, no, Bahavi means I'm bringing out. When I transport the victims who are dying from Egypt to other nations of the world to be treated for their wounds, the world looks at the victims and is in shock and in terror. Who knows what's coming next? It's very powerful, Radak. It's very relevant in our society. Ho'anashim hanishborim. When I bring among the goyim, ho'anashim hanishborim, v'anigafim b'cha. When I bring to the nations of the world all of the victims, aval derech shazetik im yonesan de'ai. So you see, tivirei. When I bring the broken people, tivirei, the broken people kirivach of the war, the casualties of war, livenei amimaya, amongst the nations of the world for healing, for whatever, for even refugees, just to escape. Okay, that's how he learned Shan the Pasuk, the Targum says. But however he learned Pshuta Shel Mikra is, Oy Perusha Bahaviv Be'oznehem, when I bring in your ear, okay, this is a different shot, when I bring in the report, when I bring the report of what happened to Egypt, it's going to cause the nations of the world to be terrified. Bahaviv Be'oznehem, called Hashever, the report of the Shever, Yeshimo, and its report, then you're all going to melt away. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Yud, V'Hashimos Yolecha, Amen. I'm going to cause the nations to be astonished, like Shimaon. They're going to be in a state of bewilderment when they hear and they see what has happened to the mighty nation of Egypt. How could it be such a mighty nation as fallen to such a low by this barbaric nation called Bavel? V'hashimosi olecha amim rabim u'malcheihem, and all of the kings of the world, yis'aru olecha sa'ar. Sa'ar means a storm. Here we are interchanging the sin, the samach, for a sin. Really it should be spelled with a samach, and it's spelled with a sin, which really is the same thing as far as we're concerned. They're going to be in a stormy mood. It's as if there's a storm going on, and a storm within themselves. They have no menucha. They have no menucha hearing the tragedy that has happened in this world. Now, this was a very fascinating word, which today it means a whole new connotation. The oififi al pinehem, when I cause the sword to fly on their faces. Now in ancient times, if you learn that this is referring to the 27th year of Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, what kind of technology do they have already? Okay, what kind of technology? A sword, you don't go and swords don't fly. Okay, they don't fly. Swords you hold in your hand and you fight with. You stab, they don't fly. You want to go say that you're dealing over here by throwing missiles, catapults? What?
Spear.
You throw a spear?
Yeah.
It flies in the sky. Is the word, when you use the word to fly, you throw it. You have an arrow. Okay, an arrow. It's not a cheref. A cheref is a word, and the word oif, to fly, is not the typical word. The typical word you use about throwing missiles, it's all over Tanakh. Many psukim in Tanakh, they would throw stones, slingshots, the kafakela, slingshots and missiles, catapults. They had sophisticated ways of throwing boulders, big stones. But I don't remember too much, but the word, this is a very unique expression, to combine a sword with the word flying. This is something a little bit different. So in ancient times, I mean, what does this mean exactly? I don't know, but today...
It's referred to as Hashem's sword.
Okay, so you could
actually use a sword.
Okay.
For those instruments.
Absolutely. Okay, so you have to wax poetic, right? To explain what exactly this means in the context of ancient civilization, time of Nebuchadnezzar in his 27th year of Malchus. But in the modern world, I'm sure. I don't know all the military, all the technology, but I'm sure these words have a whole new meaning. To fly, the drones. Okay, we have drones, incredible drones. Where you have bombers, all different types of stealth airplanes, and these things, the weapons that these things carry. I don't know if you call them. You don't call them a cheref. You call that. It's not necessarily a stone. These are the things that they have on them. They have that. I don't know if you read the news. They now have on the Apache helicopters, lasers.
Right.
Unbelievable. It's the newest technology. They put on the helicopters lasers where it's a whole new weapon, and it's incredibly destructive. These helicopters are very, very versatile. They can move in and out, and they can these lasers can destroy with enormous force and precision.
So there's your analogy. Laser is like a sword, where conventional weapons are like ballistics.
Exactly.
Which are stones.
And these things are flying. Flying, you know, when you fly, you have precision. You don't just, when you throw something, you don't have control. It goes. It goes wherever it lands. There's velocity, whatever you're going to do. But oififi has a connotation that you're a bird. I want to go here, I go here, I want to go here, I want to go here. There's a guy in Arizona sitting there with a joystick. Right, all of a sudden, Saudi Arabia, there are drones flying around. There are drones flying around in Syria, and who's controlling them? A guy sitting in a bunker in Arizona with a joystick of a video game. He's controlling. He's got a Chaim v'Hamores in his hand with a little push button. It's unbelievable what goes on in this world, and these things flying around. So it's mamish be'oififi charbi. Yecheskel was way ahead of his time. Yecheskel, I really believe that these things he's writing over here, these things can never really be understood. A lot of these have over and over and over again. I don't only say this, you hear this from other people as well. A lot of these expressions, okay, so you look at the Mefarshim, poetic, it's midrashic, but when you listen, today in the 21st century, with all the new technology that's available, some of these expressions, they just jump out of the page. You don't have to be very poetic or very symbolic to understand what these things mean. It has a very... A whole new world of interpretation, because especially what is the chesed? It's nevuah. It's prophecy. What's going to happen in the future? There's so much repetition. Obviously, there's something doing over here in this pasuk. You cannot deny that this pasuk over here is referring to modern times. I'm going to cause be'oififi charbi, when it's going to fly my sword al pinehem, over their faces. Think about all the know that they can mamash see what you look like. The cameras, they can see even under the roof. The technology is just so amazing. The chardu lirigoyim, they're going to be terrified lirigoyim every moment. A moment won't go by where there's not going to be a feeling of terror. Ish lenafsho, each person for his own neshama. Biyoyim mapal. But Mapal Techa, on the day when you mitzrayim, when you are defeated, the whole world is going to feel the terror and worry about their own height. All right, let's see this pasuk in the Mefarshim. Pasuk Yod in the Mitzudos, David. Vahashi Maisi. The word Hashi Maisi means bewilderment. I will cause others to be bewildered. Asmiya alma paltucha amim rabim. I will cause many great nations to be bewildered over your destruction. Yis aru. They will be terrified. There will be a storm going on within their own selves. Because of you, they will be terrified like a very great storm. Okay, the next words are, when my sword flies over their faces. When he passes, he's going to pass so fast. It's going to be Ki hu yikorei cherev Hashem. Nevuchadnezzar is called the sword of Hashem, and he will move swiftly through the land. And that's why, according to the Mitzudos, he's interpreting this to mean that's what it means over here. But if this unusual expression, he's going to move swiftly through the land. Period. V'chardu l'rogoyim b'chol rega, every single moment. Yosifu b'charada, you will be terrified. Ish lo nafsho, kol echad yecharad b'avur nafsho, you will be terrified for his neshama, b'yoma pal techa, and then when you fall, ki yifchad shlo tavu cherb gam olof, that's a common theme, is that when you see tragedy come upon someone else, a person naturally worries, what's going to be for me? It happened to him, why am I going to be any different? Hirashi pasik, Yud v'hashi mosi loshon timohon, bewilderment. The oifefi charbi al pneihem loshon oif poreach. The word oif means a bird that flies. B'shalchi olecha chel shluach derech artsam. I will send an army through your lands. Which means, like we said, very quickly, very swiftly. V'chardu lirugoim lishvar. Now he learns, we had this lesson a long time ago. The word lirugoim can mean, the Mitzudos says it means every single moment. Rashi learns it means you'll be broken to pieces. You'll be shattered. The inside of your neshama will be shattered. Pen gam alehem yavo hashever. Lashon acher. Here is what the Mitzudos said. Lashon rega mamish. It means every single moment. Kinechibu menachem. Yish namshok kolechad al natsmoy. Everyone will be worried about themselves. What does this mean here? We have a translation of this.
Wait a second. Which word are we talking about?
Shumi ish lenafshay. Kol echad alatzmo.
Yeah.
He doesn't know?
He doesn't comment.
Ooh. First time. Okay. The Rambam.
I mean, it's yud.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever this is.
It means for himself.
For himself. Okay, so look at that. For himself. The Rambam, old French. The Rambam called Rashi the French.
Actually, it's not that old.
The Rambam called Rashi the Frenchman. The Frenchman. Something like that. What? Rashi, that's Rashi. Rashi was a book in French. Rashi, that was Rashi. France, Rashi. Okay, so let's now go to Pasik, another Radak first. Radak Pasik Yibes. B'charbois mivorhu. This is self-understood. Nothing needs to be discussed. No, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong Pasik. I'm sorry. Pasik Yud. Okay, Yud. It means bewilderment. Very quickly, Yisaru alecha sar. Zohar Hashem achar hapoyal. We have the sahar is the noun, and Yisaru is the adjective. So, the achar hapoyal hanigzor me Hashem. We have the noun coming after the adjective. Is that the way lechazek or inyikamova yotzom David som? Okay, so this is a style of writing where you take the same sheresh, you have it in the noun form, in the adjective form, or the verb form, and you put them together, not the adjective form, the verb form. And you put them together in order to add emphasis. ba'ifafi chabi al panehem behafriki velati oisa, when I cause my shine. Now he has a whole new translation. Behafriki velati oisa al panehem. So he learns that the cheref is a sword, but it doesn't mean over here the piercing, the piercing, it means the glitter of the sword, the glare, the gleam. You hold up the sword against the sun, so the sharp point, it sparkles, and that causes terror. So he seems to say the word be'oifafi. Be'oifafi is not, does not mean like Rashi and the Mitsudos, a bird that flies. It means it glitters. Okay, it glitters in the sky. Now, where does he get that word from? So he has a source for this. Inyan behirus v'havraka means shine. Kemo ta'ufa, about a flash. Ta'ufa kaboyker tihiyeh. You will shine in pasuk in Iyov. In that context, it means that you will glow. You will glow like the morning star, like the morning, the shine of the sun. The yesh lefarsh. Now we go back to the symbol, like we said before, means to fly. Gam kein inyan tenuah, means to move, like the fly. Kolaymar bahanihi the oifafi oisa al panehem, when I cause Nevuchadnezzar to move, when I cause him to attack, I cause him to come over your land. The inyan hatenuah karov inyan ha'ifa, movement is related to flying. When you fly, you move. You're not allowed to light Shabbos candles using the ingredient of tzari because it flares up. It flies. It flies and it can cause a fire. And if there's a fire, your person may come to Michal Shabbos, but they shoot off. It's off. What does it mean off? It means kolam shu pareach. Vina, it flickers, it goes up in the air. Min haner, vinitas, it spurts. Heinav, heinav, yonisantir gema bo asa. You see, Allah, Allah, the kotlin. When I bring upon you the charba, the inun chazon, and you will see. Okay, so I guess he learns like the other interpretation. It means to bring, like it means a tenua. It means to bring, like we said before. The chardu l'ragoim, you'll be terrified every single moment. Merega l'rega yechudu, there is no relief. Every moment you'll be in a state of terror. Yonasan tergim l'ragoim means min rega hayam, rega, the storming of the sea. Vizu'un min kadam, it's a whole new translation. It's a new translation. L'ragoim means you're going to move, you're going to quake, you're going to shake. A whole, so therefore it comes out that in summary we have three translations for the word lirigaim. Either it means to be broken into pieces, or it means every single moment, or the terror will be so great you'll shake. Everyone is going to be afraid for themselves and see what happened to you. Okay, next, pasuk Yud Aleph. Hashem says the sword of the king of Babel will come upon Egypt. Pasuk Yud Beis. With the swords of mighty ones, I will cause your multitude to be destroyed. They are all tyrants. This refers to the kastim. The kastim were barbarians. There was nothing beneath them. Nothing they would not do. Absolutely no discipline. No honor of war. Just barbarians. They were called the tyrants of the nations. The shadu esgoin mitzram. They will plunder all of the wealth. The pride of Egypt will be taken away by the Babylonians. The nishmat kol hamoina, and the entire multitude of the Egyptians will be destroyed. Pasuk Gimel. V'yavadati es kol behemta. I will cause all the animals to disappear. Me'almayim rabim, from the abundance of water of Egypt. V'lot sidlochem regel adam od. We had this last Friday. And the feet of men will not muddy the waters. Okay, the feet of men will no longer muddy the waters. And likewise, the hoofs of the animal will not muddy the waters. Then I will cause the waters to rest. When there's no one living in Egypt for 40 years, so the waters will be tranquil, will rest. And the rivers will flow like oil, like pure oil has a beauty to it. Keshemen oilich nuum Hashem elokim. So this concludes this section here So it's not Yenah, not finished yet. Okay, let's see what we have these psukim together. Yud through Yudalit. Yudalit through Yudalit. Mitsudos David Pasik Yudalit. I'm going to be applying the sword of Babel. To Vayecha Tavalecha El Mul Mitzrayim Yomer. We're referring to Egypt will be defeated. Bechar Bois Gibarim Hema Kastim. The Kastim will come with their swords. Kulam Kolaboy Malecha Yu Hachazakim Shabogim will be very strong. It's going Mitzrayim. It's Ramshels Mitzrayim. The pride of Egypt will be defeated. The Egyptians will take away the people, take away the assets. They will no longer go and walk on the water. The animals will be taken away. And once there are no animals, the animals no longer go to the riverbanks to drink the waters, to muddy the waters when they walk in the riverbanks. They're not going to trample to muddy water. Nothing will exist in Egypt for 40 years. Pasuk Yudalit Mitzudos Os Ashkia Kishelo Yimotzei Shamila Avor Es Hamayim. When no one will be there to walk through the waters, Mimela, the waters will be tranquil. Os Ashkia Mimehem Ki Harefesh Vehatit, the mud, Yiplu Likarko Is Hamayim, it will descend to the bottom of the water. The Os Emshech Naroisam Lios Lulim, and then I will cause the waters to be clear, Mibli Achirus, with no dirtying of the water, Kamo Shemen Hatzalul, like pure oil. When a person will come and look at it, and the waters will be so clean and pure, pristine, because no one was there to disturb its tranquility, because no one exists. No one exists in this land anymore. Okay. Yeah, I think it's in the back. I think it's supposed to go in the back.
In the back?
Yeah.
Up here on this
floor? Yes. We exercise the brain. What? How? By sleeping? Okay. Just joking. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, so we're finished over here in the Mitsudos, are we? Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasik, aren't we Rashi, Pasik, Yud Gimel. Me'al Mayim, Kol Shor Medina Shehayiso Oichram. So this is very interesting. Rashi has a new interpretation. Okay, Rashi says, what does it mean over here that the feet of the animals is not going to muddy the waters? Doesn't mean, like Mitsudos, is that the land will be desolate, and no one's going to, the animals won't walk to the riverbed in order to drink. What it means is that the Egypt is not going to meddle in the affairs of the world. Until this point in time, Egypt was a major player. When there was an event taking place in the world, who was part of the Security Council? Egypt. They had veto power. They had a dea. And when they wanted to go and meddle in the world affairs, they stuck their feet into the water, and they muddied the waters of world affairs. Rashi says Egypt will cease to be a player on the world stage. They will no longer be able to extend their feet into the pool of the international events to get the water dirty. They're not a player. They have no opinion. They have no daya in world affairs. That's a very powerful interpretation of Rashi. Until this point in time, you, Egypt, would step your feet into the waters of other nations and would make them mess around. They're not going to meddle in the elections and hack the computer systems. They won't even have technology. They don't have electricity to turn on a computer to go and hack into someone else's elections, someone else's computers. You're not going to muddy, if you're not to muddy someone else's country with your feet. Yudalit, Ashkia me mehem, Shloita Achreim Regal Behema, the Yishka Hatini means of it that the foot of man, of the animal, will not muddy the water, but instead the tit, the particles of dirt, will be permitted to settle in the bottom of the river. V'yiryu, and mimela, the water will be pure, like shemen, pure oil. V'yiryu hamayim tzalulim unikim kishemen hamezukok, like pure refined oil. Virgin oil. What?
Clear.
Clear oil. Clear oil. Okay. Virgin oil is one of the big frauds. Not very little aware of it. Alright, let's go to the next, let's see, Radak, a few words of Radak, Pasuk Yud, Aleph, Ki, Koyam Hashem, Uvurhu, Tovayecha, Tovalucha, Yud Beis, Becharbois, Uvurhu, fine, Yud Gimel, Vahavadati, Mial Maim Rabim, Shayisa, Gedela, Al Maim Rabim, Ki Maim Rabim, Hoyu, Bimitshraim, Bi Oirim, Uva Gomim, Levad, Hayor HaGadol, that until this point in time there was an abundance of rivers in Egypt, besides the very big Yar, the Nile. But what's going to happen as a consequence? The lo tishaer ba behema shethavar bohem ki shemama tiye uperesh inyan. There's going to be utter desolation. The amar ki lo sid lochem regel adam oit uparsas behema lo sid lochem with sid lochem kemo tir misa means to trample. Uve amar oit with loymar zman raf for a long time. Lo li olam kemo v'lo yisiv olu gudlich aram. We know for 40 years. Pasuk Yudalid, Oz Hashkia, May Mehem, and when this point in time comes, and I will allow the waters to be settled, to be tranquil. Kishahamayim, Rabim, Mokay Mechad, Yeshmahem, Oimek. When there's a lot of water in one place, there's depth. Vinikru, it's called Shaykim, the water settles. Lafisha, Noifel, Bohem, Shaykel, Mat, because the person who falls there, he sinks below. Vichain Omar, Vishoka, Ki Ar Mitzrayim, Amashlo Yashko, Mehem Asilis, Faganim, Shai Aritzia, Mein Adam Vehema, Vimehem Shaykim, and the land will be barren. Shai Aritzia, Mein Adam Vehema, Vimehem, the people and the animals, they will drown in the water. The Naharoi Sam Kashemen, Lichem Zakim Kashemen, Kamayim Shetava, Bahem Regal Adam, Behemah, Him Achmits Muddy, Vyonis and Tigim, Behem Ashkate, Laamba, Umal Chehon, Bin Yoch Adabar. I don't know what this means. Okay, I don't know what this means. Let's leave that out. Okay. Now let's go to the next section, okay? We're trying to move along. Pasik Tes Vav. Besiti Es Eretz Mitzrayim Shemama Unishama. Two different words. This is a very popular expression. Shemama uneshama, I will cause Egypt to become completely desolate. Eretz mimaloya, the land will be empty from its fullness. Ba'akoisis kol yoshei, but all those that will be killed. V'yodu yul then no kieni Hashem. This nevuah winds down. Pasuk to Zion, kinahi Yecheskel. This is a lament. The koinenuha. Benos hagoy v'koinenuha, and I want you to express this lament. I want you to wail. I want you to relay it to the world. Likewise, benos hagoyim tikoneno isa. The day will come when the nations of the world will express these exact same words over the fall of Egypt. Al Mitzrayim v'al kol hamoyna tikoneno. They will express this kina. So you have the word over how many times? One, two, three, four times. Four different words of kina. Of kina. Kina is a very, kina is a very rich word. Okay, coming up soon, 3 weeks, Tisha B'Av, you say kinois. You only, there are so many different words that Chazal used to describe the different types of piyutim. It's piyut, that has its own connotation. There is vidui, ki piyut, vidui, slicha. There's a techina. There's all different types of piyutim, which describe what part of the tefillah we say. This yoytzros, things that you say, piyutim you say in the middle of the birchas yoytzer are. They are kroivos, things that you say in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. That's koroiv. It's next to kroivos. It's next to the Shem Hashem. I don't remember why it's called the kroivos. Then there's Kravets. Mm-hmm. Kravets is Purim. It's Kol, what is Kravets? It's Rosh Hashanah. It's Kol, Rina, Yeshua, Bi'oli, Tzadikim. Kravets is Rosh Hashanah. Kol, Rina, Yeshua, Bi'oli, Tzadikim. That's a whole different expression. Kravets, Yoitzres, Piyutim, Techinois, Slichois, Anything else I'm forgetting? And then comes kinois. Kinois neklas by itself. It's neklas by itself. In fact, Megillas Eicha is not really called a Megillah. The Chazal, not even sure anywhere in Chazal, it's called a Megillah. Megillah is a new term that we have invented for Eicha. It's not a Megillah. It's called Megillas. It's called Megillas Kinois. I already forgot. It's called Sefer Kinois or Megillas Kinois. It's called in Chazal Kinois. It's the ultimate Kina. What we call Megillas Eicha in Chazal is called Kinois. It's the ultimate Kinois. So it has its own connotation of describing something very sad, mourning, wailing over what has happened. And he used this expression here four times. It's not to be ignored. In the Haggadah, do we have Kinois? Yes, we have kinos in the Haggadah. There are two kinos, and that's what Chazal said. There are two kinos in the Haggadah. What are they? So anyone want to guess what the two kinos are in the Haggadah are? Shvecha Mascha. Okay, four psukim. Okay, four psukim, that's a kina. And also, Holach Ma'anya is also called a kina. So Pesach, the first night of Pesach is the same night as Tisha B'Av. So on Pesach, you have to say kinos. What do you say kinos? So you're expressing pain. This is a kina. You open up the Haggadah with a kina, remembering that the first night of Pesach, the night of Pesach, the same day of the week as Pesach, is going to be the day of the week of Tisha B'Av. And then when you get down to the very, very end, Nochamo, you wind down with the kina of Shvecha Mascha. Do we say any mizmorim on Tisha B'Av? Yes, we do. We say B'tzeisim in Mitzrayim. Okay, Eish to God b'kirbi ba'aloisi alibi b'tzeisim in Mitzrayim, and then you say other things which are sad. But that those expressions you can't call those a kina. That's not called a kina. That's called a shira. That's a shira, or that's a I don't know exactly the expression. But it's not a kina. So you see this mixing and matching. It's not, Tisha B'Av is not exclusively a day of kinois, and Pesach is not a day exclusively of halal and shiras v'shishbachas. You have mixing and matching, you have to know exactly the right term, and it's very interesting that you find over here, it's not that very often that you find in Navi where the word kina is used, and if it's found, it's being used here, obviously it's telling us, take the context of what it says here, decipher the message, and now understand this is the essence of what the word kina means, and you can thus extrapolate when it comes to Tisha B'Av, or when it comes to other times of the year when you recite kinos, you will then understand what a kina is, what its message, its focus is, and if you are engaged in actually composing kinos, you'll know how to go about writing a kina. Personally, you know there are so many kinos. We only say 45 kinos now, Siddur, but there are hundreds, if not thousands, of kinos that were composed throughout the centuries for tragedies that happened in Klal Yisrael. So people who were talented in writing these kinos, why is when you're approached with the role of writing a kina, what do you do? What is the role? What's the mission? What's your objective? Well, you have to know what is the meaning of a kina. And that's a very hard thing. That's a very hard thing to define. Does a kina have a positive message? Is it only reflective? Is there musr? Is there halacha? You have to understand, define exactly what the word kina is before you can take on a task of writing a kina. There are many gedolei Yisrael, they wrote kinas for the Holocaust. Okay, in the new art school, they used to have in the art school only one kina for the Holocaust. They used to have only from Rav Schwab. And now the new art schools have three kinas. They have from the Baba Varebi, Rav Schwab, and I think also they have another one from one of the Eretz Yisrael from Rabbanut. One of the chief rabbis also wrote a very beautiful kina. I think they put now in the new art, they put three modern day kinas. So someone writes a kina, you gotta know what is a kina. And like I said over here, you learn these psukim over here, this entire section. It starts off with the word kina. That's how it started, pasuk aleph. Back in Koyamar, Hashem Elokim Uparasi Lecha Rishtiki, he writes over here, somewhere here in the middle of the parakeet, he tells Yechezkel, I want you to raise up a kina. No, maybe it was before, maybe it was before. It's somewhere in the beginning of this section, and it winds down with the kina, and here's a great place to first to analyze. I don't know what it really depth, what it really means. How you differentiate a kinif from a yoitzer or from a korva or whatever it is. All the, these different types of things.
Referred to, what, I mean, not referred to, but what is explained, as we know, what are the kinos that are. They mentioned certain ones that not necessarily using the word rejected, since we have to understand that everything that happened, all the tragedies that happened after Korban was as a result of Korban, nevertheless. So the focal point is still Korban.
Korban. Oh, so you're saying a whole new dimension.
Whatever happened after Korban is still an outgrowth of Korban.
So you're saying something very, very... You're saying that the essence of a kina has to focus on a Korban.
Korban.
That's a yisoid. That's a very powerful idea.
Yeah.
So if a person would write some beautiful poem,
that's not me. I'm just repeating.
Oh no, you know. So that's a very interesting idea, because here we're talking the Chorban of Mitzrayim. So it's a very, because go look at some of the things that are written. Not everything we're describing Chorban. Sometimes you have these kinois that just talk about feelings, talk about. And so can you call that a kina? L'may nafkamina, I don't know. Maybe because if you want to incorporate a part of Tisha B'Av where there is an emphasis on reciting kinois, an extension of Megillas Kinois, which is Eicha, it has to fit into the theme of what is a true Kina. And you're saying a very powerful Yisod that a Kina must focus on Chorban. What is Chorban? That itself is a topic of discussion. What is it? What exact Einachanami? So this is something which to keep in mind. Pasuk Tes Zayin in the Mitzudos David. He writes, we have two, Tezvod and Tezayin together. Okay, Pasek Tezayin, B'sidi Zayye, V'eis Eten Eser, Tzayim Liyos Shemama, V'choyiz Mepharish Arutz, Siyah Shemama, V'rekonis, Me'abriyois, Hamamalim, V'eis Akes, Eser Yikol Yishin Ba, it'll be empty from the people that will be destroyed. The Yadu, Oz Yedu Shani Hashem Hanemon L'Shalem Gimel, we have this only a million times. Hashem is Nem on the Shalom Gmur. Pasek Tezayin Kina Hi Hanavua Hazos Hi Kina. This Navu is a Kina. Ulechein Koinenu a Kina Ahi. I want you to lament. I want you to raise up your voice in Kina. Ve'atein B'nos HaGoyim. Ve'atein. And you also. B'nos HaGoyim. Tikoinena Oysa. I also want you, the nation of the world, also to express this lament. Al Mitzrayim Koimer. Al Tekoinenu hakina hahi al churban arotzes acheros ki im al Mitzrayim levada. Only express this over Egypt ki hi miyuchedes lo lefiyoy reacha, because it's unique. Okay, that's the end of this section. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk tezvav eretz mimuloya eretz yata mimula. The land that right now Mikolta, the land that right now is what's the, going on?
No,
rap music. So they have to enjoy themselves. They have to play rap music when they put up the scaffolding. Mayor, you give it to them. You give it to them. You let him have it. Thank you. Okay, Tezvav, Eretz Vuloy, Eretz Shimlatam, and Meluah Mikolav, the land that is now full with all good will ultimately be destroyed. That's it for Rashi, Radak, Pasik Tezvav, and Tezayin, and we're finished for today. Besiti Unishamo, Vitiya Nishamo, Eretz Meluah, Vyaf, Avdit Shomad, Hatam, Bemilas Unishamo. Okay, this grammar, next Kinahi, Kemosh Omar, Betchusso Inyan, Pasik Beis, Omar, Besoif Gamkein. Okay, this entire section is sandwiched with the word Kina 5 times. Let's see the word pasuk beis. How many times did the word kina?
Four
here. Over here, how many times did it say pasuk beis? So kina. So a grand total of 5 times. Kina v'koyim nenuha imro isa b'kol kina genus intergem ilya hi nivuai. This is nivuasa usayli ilya. Ilya is the tying of kina. Benois hagoyim tekoyneno isa b'nekfar mashab hagoyim yikoyinu osa. Likewise, all the nations, all of the different countries will also mourn. V'chein tegmirusen b'kaf ronei amaya yel yun yosa. V'akine hi minag hanoshim. Now here he says something very important. I see this in different other places. Kina, it's a very interesting story about kina. It's something that's miyuchid for noshim. Isn't that interesting? It's miyuchid for noshim, not men. Right. But we say the men say the kinas, not the women.
But they were the
whalers. Yeah. Oh, so it's right. So okay. Of course, they're the ones who would sing with the nigun. But interesting that it's something that's minog hanoshim kamosha amar v'kiru lamekoynenos usivayena. Call the women. It's beloshin the keva, and they will come. Oy perush binos hagoyim kilos goyim bas kmo basiyin bas edem. Okay, then it just says of whites and feminine form. Shabusha eda the assembly. It doesn't say whites and feminine form. Tikoy neina. Okay, whatever that means, we'll leave that. But that's a very interesting insight. Is that kina is miyuchad for nash. So when we recite kinas, we are putting ourselves in the frame of mind of a woman. And why? How does that help us? You have to think about that. Women have more emotion. Women have bina yisera, okay? Not just emotion, they have bina yisera. So when you recite kinois, you are becoming, okay, I don't want to say the word, transgender. you didn't hear that here. You didn't hear that, right? You never heard that. I never said that.
Gender fluid.
Okay, so you're really, it's a very interesting idea. You're putting yourself, you're borrowing from the midos of noshim in order to express yourself properly for the chur based on migdash. Because kina sometimes miyuchad for noshim, bina yisera and emotion. Maybe there are other things, other ideas. With that, we will conclude for today. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick up with Yitzhak. We'll have a shiur. We'll have maybe a shorter shiur.